This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Expressing your love can look many different ways. And with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win, order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Hello, good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. Hiya, how are you all doing? Welcome along. So much for having the week off after the end of the season, but we will be doing tomorrow. We are just tying everything up with nice bows and little nice paper and wrapping the season up, and then we can start looking forward to next season. This is the Championship Table Prediction Review. This is where I'm going to absolutely make myself look total idiotic, more so than usual. Brad, good evening, how are you?
Well, I'm glad you said that, not me, but I'm doing all right, mate. Just looking forward to doing this show. It's going to be seeing how much of a tit you and Dan made of each other, which again, more than usual.
Well, I've got to be honest with you. I couldn't find my prediction, so I originally went with Dan's. When we did the show at the start of the year or start of the season, I did go with his because I thought he knows the Championship better, obviously having just come up from it. That he knew all the teams apart obviously than the three that were coming up. So I went with his, but I managed to find mine. So I spent all afternoon sort of changing the slides from his predictions to mine, only to realize that he actually got more right than I did. So maybe I would have been better off sticking with his.
Yeah, sometimes it's okay to copy someone else's homework, isn't it?
It is. I should have done. How's the head, mate? Have you recovered? How are you feeling generally?
Yeah, I was fine. I didn't actually get to go out to the parade. I had prior engagement, so I was good. My head is reasonably fine. I've seen all the videos though and enjoyed it as if I was there. So it was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I had the video on while I was doing some work, and I've got to be honest with you, I got bored after a while. you know, took they were half an hour late starting. It took them longer than they had planned to get to the city centre. Then when they pulled up, it took them what seemed like an eternity to get off the bus and up the stairs. And to be honest with you, I turned it off in the end, and I thought, I can't be arsed with this. And you know, it's not like we've not had a couple of those recently. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, it did have that air of a bit of anticlimacticness to it, from what I could see. But that's the thing as well, isn't it? You go to one, and well, it's like trying to get in a pub on a Saturday night, isn't it? You can't move. You're sweating. People get in your way, and by the time you get to the bar and order your pint and you drink it, you've got back to your mates. You drank your pint. It's a bit of an oversight of an event.
Honestly, drunk the pint. You've just drunk whatever you've got back to him with, because most of it will probably go down your front.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, it looked like everybody else had a lovely day aside, and that's what you go to enjoy for, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I've got to say, this is the week when we're rounding things up. Yesterday we had the award show. Tonight we've got the championship table prediction show. Thursday we've got the season review. And then Friday you're back with me for the prediction league roundup.
Yeah, which will probably go as well for me as this does for you tonight, I'm guessing.
I've not seen the final table yet. I will wait.
Haven't bothered to do. I'm too scared to do the maths, mate, if I'm honest with you.
I mean, look, that last day, and I've got to say, I look at the form table, not the actual league table, but the form table, and the teams at the top, and this is in order: Millwall, Sheffield Wednesday, Middlesbrough, Stoke City, Swansea, QPR, Southampton are in seventh. They're the first, if you like, you know, the big boys. Plymouth, Hull City, Bristol, Ipswich are down in 11th. We're down in 12th. Leeds in 24th. I mean, it's like, I know. Well, I couldn't believe that. But they are, 24th, based on the last five games. Six games they've got here. Yeah, based on the last six games, they are bottom of the
four. So are you trying to tell us, Chris, here, contrary to popular belief, the best team in the championship are bottom of the form guide come the end of the season?
Yes.
Ah, right. I thought I heard you right. I thought that's what you're saying. Yeah. There's no way, surely, but apparently it's true.
Yes, it is. And I have been on a few Leeds channels, and they've just totally ignored me. So, but it was fun. It was fun. And I've just got to say, if anybody can see this, I'm just going to move this out of the way. Don't know if you can see this T-shirt. Champions again, ole, ole. If anybody would like one of these, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just put it going across the bottom there. Art of Football. And it's artoffootball.com. Get over there. They don't just do Leicester, in fairness. They do all the top clubs, even Leeds. But they produce this retro wear because it's champions again and what have you. And you've seen me wear a few of their things just recently. And they're really good quality as well. Am I selling this to you? Am I? Tell me I am. And of course, they did do an interview recently with Easy Life, who are the new show Waddy Waddy, the band from Leicester. But if you do fancy one of these, get over there. There's this and many more leisure wear and different item shorts and hoodies and everything. Don't think they do an hoodie, though, Brad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you had me sold until you said that. I was going to buy one. Now I don't do hoodies. I might have to invest in one. We'll see.
John is in. Good evening, John. How are you? Hi, Phil says Hull have sacked the manager. Not the gentleman who beat Enzo to get into the top three for the Manager of the Season award.
Yeah, absolutely shocking. And you know, I've had my discrepancies with certain teams and manager sackings this season. Mm-hmm. Some I've appreciated, some I thought were wrong. And this is another one. I mean, and someone really highlighted it. He's been sacked after being in the top three choices for Manager of the Season award. All right, you could maybe say, well, yeah, that's a bit of whatever.
I think he filled in the gap that was left when they didn't put Enzo in.
Well, yeah, maybe. But still, you look at the teams that are in the playoff, and all banter aside, you are talking that is filled with teams that have, over the last probably 20 years or so, spent more time in the Premier League than they have in the Championship. They've got great calibre experience of promotion out of this division more, either automatically or playoffs. So Norwich, West Brom, Southampton, Leeds, and he fell 3 points short. Okay, it was a disappointing day for them against Plymouth, but even if they had won, results went against them anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered. And they go and sack him. I think that's what you call a knee-jerk reaction sacking, because I would then, you know, because it either goes one or two ways, doesn't it, that sort of sacking, Chris? It's one of them where it comes out of the blue to us neutral fans, and then 2 hours later we're seeing a report of them being replaced, or they sack a manager and then it takes 3 or 4 weeks for them to get someone in. And it just feels like they basically told him playoffs or sacked, and clearly that's the outcome. It's wrong. It shouldn't happen.
I didn't agree with him getting into the top three of the Manager of the Season awards. I did have to wet myself when Enzo won the final Manager of the Month award. That must have hurt them to give him that. But look, yeah, seventh. They were nowhere near the playoffs, I don't think, last season. It's mad. It's madder. We're going to come on to manager sackings in a minute. John says, are you covering the Leeds playoffs? You know what? I hadn't thought about it, but I might just have to. Would that be horrible of me? Yeah, but it'd be fun.
It would be, especially if they lose.
I know. John says, I like the Art of Football top with 5 Leicester shirts, past and present. I have that as well, but obviously I can only wear one thing at a time. Otherwise, I'd look absolutely silly, more silly than I do at the moment. Can I just say, if you missed it yesterday, like the gentleman to my left, or right, as you're looking at it, I guess. If you didn't see the show last night, it's still on Leicester Till I Die TV. Go on to the category that says The Pick, which is all our latest shows, so they're easy to find before they fall into the normal categories. Rob Tanner from The Athletic came on. He, and I'm not going to say anything because you need to watch it, but he had some, we talked Enzo, Fatawu, Vardy, Iheanacho, to be honest. Well, we talked about all the main players, no pun intended, and all the, you know, the rumours have started already, Enzo's not been happy, blah, blah, blah. He was he's been interviewing, obviously, since the end of the season, and there were some very interesting snippets that he gave us. But you're going to have to go and watch it to find out. There's some that you might say, seriously? Oh, I don't know. No. And there's some you might just go, yep. I'll leave that to you to go and watch and find out. Brad's coming in. No, he's not. No, I thought you'd gone off your microphone, which means he's coming in.
No. I was just moving my camera around. I was doing it for dramatic effect, mate.
Just notice that, ladies, that you know that Brad's coming in when he moves his microphone. that's what he calls it anyway. He also helped pick the 6 category winners, which was signing of the season. signing of the season. Oh, that one came out wrong. Bum bum. can we give up now? It's going to be one of those shows, isn't it? Signing of the season, most improved player of the season, match of the season, goal of the season, young player of the season, and player of the season. Basically, Brad, me, and the other presenters, apart from Craig, who had some bad news last week, so he didn't really have a chance to do it, which is understandable. Hope everything's all right if you're watching, Craig. We all nominated our favourites for each of those, and he picked the winners. And I have to say, not saying I was very annoyed with him, but he only agreed with two of my things. Not annoyed.
Yeah, well, that's what you get, Chris, when you pick Vestergaard for every category, even the under-24s category. You probably put Vestergaard down for everything, didn't you?
I'm not saying anything, and whether I put Dakar in or not for player of the season, you'll have to watch it and find out. No, I wasn't annoyed with him, but I was just very, very disappointed, you know. Enzo apparently wanted by Sevilla. He's bound to be. If we hadn't gone up, he'd have probably walked. Get that. And it would have been a disaster had we not gone up. But yeah, he's going to be in demand. Of course he is. But look, you know, when you come to think he's gone from Manchester City to a team in the Championship, it shows that maybe this is long-term for him on that. Anyway, shall we get on with this, Brad? These are my predictions. Like I say, I did it with Dan. I was going to go along with Dan and use his predictions because he knew, obviously being a Burnley fan, Dan the Burnley fan, he knew the teams from the season before when he was down here. Sorry, Dan, but it looks like you might be meeting a few old friends next season. Did I say that out loud? Sorry, Dan, he'll hate me. The truth sometimes hurts. We'll wave at each other again. We keep waving at each other at the end of every season. When we did the actual show at the start of the season, I let him go with his, and they were completely different to mine. And I was going to do that today, but I managed to find my predictions. And as I said to Brad before we came live, I wish I'd stuck with them because it were better than mine. I got one right. All right. I think I got one right. I'm not a million miles off, Brad. I'm close with some of them, but only one spot on.
Well, I mean, that bodes well for you going forward, doesn't it? I mean, your predictions are about as good as they are in the actual predictions league, but I can't say anything. I probably got zero right in position. Well, I'll tell a lie, actually. I would delusionally just bat Leicester to win the league, so I'd have got one right as well on that basis alone. I don't think I'd have got... I certainly wouldn't have got second place, right? I tell you that much.
Believe it or not, nor did I. was Leicester my one correct? I don't know. Brad looks like he's down the pub there with the dartboard behind him.
I wish that was the case, mate.
I tell you what, I was in the pub once and I was playing and there was a load of nuns in. And I went treble 20 again. I'm on here. I went, hit the wire, came out, went straight between the eyes of one of the nuns, and she dropped dead. And the guy shouted, "One nun dead and 80. Yeah. Anyway, shall we move on? And I just realised my maths isn't that good either.
Yeah, that was awful maths because you threw three darts and somehow you threw four.
No, I threw three darts, but I scored 260s and I meant to score...
A single, a triple.
Oh, honestly, I tell you what, it's the end of the season.
Right. We're not live. You can start again, Chris. It's all right.
Yeah. Right, here we go. So, we were talking about manager sackings. 13 teams, Brad. 13 out of the 24 Championship clubs changed their manager during the season. Hull just got excused about that because it was after the season. One team actually did it twice, and actually, as Rob Patanata pointed out to me last night, they've had six different sets of people this season picking their starting lineup. And when you look at those teams that have changed the managers, all of them have been bottom half.
Yeah, which obviously, taking Hull out of that equation, it shows you how strangely impatient some teams are for success. I mean, the only one there, well, if you pardon Watford, because that's part of their seasonal routine to sack at least one manager, I'd look at that and I would say that Plymouth didn't sack, did they? They kind of did a swap deal, didn't they? Or no, did they actually sack one? Or was he just the one that was stolen from Stoke? Was it just him?
Plymouth did technically sack, but they did replace.
You look at it and where all them clubs finished respectively, the only big oops probably came at Birmingham because they did the second one too late, didn't they? The first one, they shouldn't have done the first one if you look at how it went for them. But the rest of them, I mean, the only one there that I'm looking at, I think maybe you should have sacked your manager because of expectations not being met, was probably Blackburn. Because realistically, did Huddersfield think they were going to stay up the way their season went? I don't know. Rotherham.
Warnock resigned or something stupid, didn't he? At the start.
Yeah,
of the
yeah, that's true. And I suppose technically you could look at. Was one of the Birmingham, also technically you could have said three, but he stepped down, didn't he, Mowbray, because of illness. So,
yeah.
So, but the rest of them, really, did they do anything worthy of getting a sack? I don't think so. Again, like the Plymouth one couldn't be helped. He was poached, but Swansea, Millwall, Sunderland, Bristol, Stoke.
The ones that think that have worked really well, if you like, are QPR and Sheffield Wednesday.
Because they were kept them up, didn't it? That kept them up.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and they look like they've both got pretty decent managers in there now.
I mean, the QPR fans are raving about their manager, aren't they? Yeah. They're absolutely raving about him.
And quite right as well, you know. And it's a bit sad because, you know, again, you know, something I was talking about with Rob last night, and I did mention you and your love of ex-players being managers. And they actually loved the fact that the guy that was there before, ex-player, etc., but he just couldn't wrap it. Before we get into the individual teams, I'm going to do that now. I just want to say that if you've got nothing to do when we finish doing this, do get over to bbc.co.uk/LCFC. And they've managed, because I'd forgotten all about it because I'd been partying. My fan's voice has just gone up. Can I just say, I started off, my first line is, Leeds may have predicted a riot, but many Leicester fans predicted a return straight back up to the Premier League. And then I go into, and I'm obviously not going to read it all out to you, but my last line, and I didn't think they'd leave it in, but fair play, BBC. I think she was a Leicester fan, the one that actually was dealing with it today, Kate. My last line was, oh, by the way, Leeds, how did that riot go?
There'll be riots in the street of Leeds if they lose the playoffs. I know that much.
Yeah, but I just thought, well, fantastic. Well done, Kate. Not our Kate, a different Kate. There's about six of them doing it, but my last reply was from Kate, and she's left it in. Well done. Well done to that woman. Right, okay, so what we're going to do is start at the bottom. As the Archbishop said to the actress, and we're going to work our way up, and he probably said that as well. We're going to, and yes, John, like I say, I did say the signing of the seaman, you did hear that right. And what we're going to do is I'm going to put a thing up that shows where they finished. I was going to be 24, 23, what my prediction was, and then we'll have a look at their season form, and Brad will talk us through the form. But you'll notice, as I say, with a lot of these, Brad, in fairness, I wasn't a million miles away. There was a couple, and you know probably one of them, that I was a million miles away. But here we go. So we're going to start with, drum roll, Rotherham. Yes, they finished 24. I actually predicted 22nd. So again, not a million miles away. I did, when I looked at it, predict that they would get relegated because they only stayed up by the skin of the teeth the previous season. I mean, they have been absolutely awful this season.
Yeah, they have, probably even worse than their own expectations. I mean, you know, after, by the looks things were falling, what, after September, the only way was down, and they never really looked up for it. And, you know, they completely flatlined after the halfway point of the season. And like I said, you probably expected, if you were a Rotherham fan, for them to struggle, but maybe hope that they could do what they did last season. And they just never looked up for it. And again, it probably just showed that consistent gap between a very strong League One side and a Championship side in terms of budget and availability, because they just never... You know, we're obviously going to talk about other teams later on, Chris, but you mentioned them there, like the QPRs, the Sheffield Wednesdays. They were able to find resurging form and maybe attract some players in to help them over the January. And it's just that gap that bridges between like leagues one and two. They always say going up to the Championship is just too difficult. And rather than falling into that category,
finish sort of like they did, one place above the drop zone, you've really got to make a good fist of it the next year, haven't you? You know, they just haven't done that. I mean, all right, they finished the season 5-2, but they were dead and buried by then anyway. They'd produced that early on in the season.
If anything else, that might have pissed the fans off that they got that result then.
Yeah, exactly. They need to go and lick the wounds and regroup, don't they, and come back up. Maybe. You would hope as the, as a team that's only just avoided relegation, you would hope to finish above or close to those that have got promoted, wouldn't you?
You would. And in a way, and again, we'll touch on quick later on, but as a fan, the reason I say it's probably even disappointing to Rotherham fans is because if you kind of say, look, let's try and stay up while it's going to teeth, but if not, at least go down swinging. The fact that they were one of the earliest teams to get relegation confirmed from, because they didn't get relegated with two games to go or on the last day, because they've been relegated for 8 weeks. That has to be more disappointing, especially when you say last season they found a way to get that form going and just about survive. Mm. You would have hoped that if they couldn't find enough to stay up, they'd been 22nd, like you rightly predicted, and thought, oh well, at least they went out swinging, and they just didn't, and it was a bit, it's just, it's going to be difficult, and I think maybe they need to have a few years in League One before they come back up, because they obviously can't make the step.
If they're not careful, they could actually have a double relegation.
Well, that can happen to teams. We have seen it throughout recent history. And okay, granted, you could look at the likes of your Derbys and your Reddings, but they came with points deduction, and their club was actually in turmoil. And it was more of a forced shock than it was an actual shock, wasn't it? But you do see these teams. I mean, you go back. Ooh, it's a long way now. You don't think about that, but you go back to when we was in League One Championship the season before we went down, Chris. We were playing the likes of Scunthorpe and Gillingham, both now, I believe, are non-league side. So it can really go the wrong way.
And the manager they brought in, Evans, I don't think he's particularly got a good track record. But look, I wish them well. Nothing against them. They've got a nice stadium. But as we'll say a lot during this show, the table doesn't lie. And I think if they are not careful, they could be absolutely, dropping another division as well. And I've got to say, mate, we are getting the Premier League boys back in again. Jordan, Hadou Jordan, Liverpool Football Club, how the devil are you, sir? Welcome along. Doug is in. All right, Doug. He never really left, really, did he? He said, I had Rotherham 21st. Well, yeah, I mean, I had them 22nd, so we're there or thereabouts. And Jordan says, I want you on my channel for Leicester City and Liverpool preview. Message me, mate. Message me. More than happy to. If you can afford me, of course, that's the question. And Delboy's in. Hey, Delboy. What's the crack? What's the bleeding story? How you doing, Delboy? Lau, nice to have you back, sir. Looking forward to 6 points off Arsenal next season. Ain't going to happen, is it? That is not going to happen. But welcome back, mate. Hey, good luck with the title. Not got a particular horse in the race in the Premier League title, but give Man City a run for the money. Come on, don't cock it up at the end. Otherwise, we'll have to go back to saying Arteta out. Missed that this season, have you, Brad?
Yeah, I have. It's been a bit boring about the meltdown crisis of Arsenal. But fair play to the local rival Spurs. They've got a Greek bloody Australian or whatever he is. He's half something, half idiot, half Australian if you have Spurs fans. But he's doing the best to get the player, what's his name, Ange Podding him out. So at least they've taken the reins and strain off Arteta. And to be fair to them, Chris, all banter aside, it'd be nice if Arsenal won it. In fact, I'm at that point with the Premier League, Chris, where I wouldn't care if it was someone like Villa or someone else that won it. Just I'm bored of Man City winning it. So, I don't think they'll slip up, but they do play Tottenham, who's a bogey team. So you never know. That is their bogey team. There might still be a chance for us.
It is a case of AOBMC, anyone but Manchester City.
I'm glad you sorted that abbreviation out because I was still brain dead after the first letter.
I had to write it down to make sure I got it in the right order. Can I just say as well, as soon as we've got a few Premier League pundits in, it's funny, life's got a way of making you look stupid, because Madison went to Spurs to win trophies. Harry Winks came to us to resurrect his career and won one. I mean, it's strange how these things happen, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, did you think that sentence through? Because nowhere in the history of history does it say, I went to Spurs to win things. That's like saying you went to Al Shipman to get rid of your cold. You know what I mean? It's not going to work out for you the way you're hoping. And, you know, and I tell you what, you want to talk about fans that are fickle, Chris. They were giving it all the large that they'd stolen offers. You know, they said, oh, I know we paid 40 million, but it's still a bargain. He's going to shred it up. He's the cog that's going to, you know, take Spurs to that next level. They played Arsenal, and he was named on the bench, and loads of Spurs fans were tweeting, thank God he's learned to drop Madison. So, grass greener, maybe not.
Exactly. Doug just reminded me, I had forgotten. Crystal Palace 4, Man United 0 last night. The 6 points we'll get probably will come from Manchester United. John says at least the prediction of whoever played Huddersfield in their first home game and got promoted came true. Was that us? Must have been. Right, so that was 24th. 23rd, Hull. Not sorry to see this team go. I'd actually got this one right. 23rd, they finish. 23rd, I predicted. There we go. Story of my life. I got something right. I got it. I came good early on. Downhill from now on. I did get a video, you know, about foreplay and etc. But I just skipped the start of it. It was rubbish. Anyway, 23rd, I predicted. 23rd, they finished. It's bye-bye Huddersfield. Again, not so long ago, Premier League team.
Yeah, I mean, not much of one, were they? I mean, they went from just staying up to being the next Derby County of the league, didn't they? A bit like Sheffield United in the last few years. They made a laughing stock and they've gone up. So the bar's very low for Leicester to have to beat, even with a points deduction, let's be honest with you. But again, Chris, a team that... you know, have been very weird, haven't they? Because for the last four or five seasons, they've either been sneaking into the playoffs or they've been battling to try and avoid relegation. And, as you can see there, Chris, it looked like it was going to be an okay season for them at the start. And, you know, they looked like maybe at some point they were going to start pulling away near the end when it looked like they hit a bit of form. But, eventually that trapdoor goes, and they probably are a team like a certain side. I'm not going to mention who, but it is kind of funny that have got bit that have been relegated that have been on that trapdoor, haven't they, Chris? Barring one or two seasons for the last five or six seasons, where relegation has been a real concern for them, and eventually that trapdoor has come and opened up underneath them.
Yeah. Say weird, they did change the manager, but it was a totally weird thing because they got who was it, Warnock in, didn't they?
Yes.
And then he kind of left after three or four games. I don't know how many games it was exactly. Doug will probably tell me, but I think it was just a totally weird situation.
Yeah, and it was weird because he had the interview not long before that actual decision was made, and he basically said, yeah, I'm just here as a stopgap. I'm waiting, you know, I've said I'll stay here. I think they were originally going to get rid of him at the end of the season, but the manager they were getting in, they were obviously waiting to see what Sheffield Wednesday did. and that was Darren Moore, which was probably one of the bigger shocks because of what he did in that semi-final against Peterborough. It didn't last long at all. But then I've said this before, haven't I, Chris? It's maybe there is something category wrong with his personality, Darren Moore, because how many managers can say, I turned around a playoff semi-final, got the team promoted and was sacked without a ball being kicked, or pretty much without a ball being kicked. And then it keeps going wrong for him. He must be doing something wrong or rubbing the board up the wrong way, because he seems to be okay at clubs or doing reasonably well, but then suddenly gets sacked. So, you know, maybe it's just a curse hiring him, because it certainly didn't work for Huddersfield, did it?
No, it didn't work for Aberdeen either with Warnock, did it? You know,
didn't they stay up? I think, unfortunately, I think it Doug's team expense, because commiserations on that one, Doug, with Livingston. Yeah, I think they stayed up at their expense, didn't they?
I do not really follow Scottish football.
I only know it because poor Doug posted it up a couple of days ago. When they lost their playoff and got relegated.
But I mean, 10 games. Now, 10 games would take that up to the that first. Well, you can see there, 10 games. It's Birmingham when you left. And they went up, they did go up a bit after that. But then it was just flat lining, wasn't it? A little bit of hope towards, you know, about 10 games before the end of the season. But it all died out. Last day, they weren't going to stay up. The goal difference was absolutely atrocious, and they needed something like a 13-0 win or something, you know, and then still the other teams to do their bit. So 23rd, they were 23rd. I've got one right. Now, I will say before I put the next slide up, which of course is Birmingham because they got relegated. Can I say in my defence, right? These were done at the start of the season. So these were done when John Eustace was in charge. There was no sign of Wayne Rooney. Nobody had any idea that Wayne Rooney was going to walk through those doors. They'd got new owners. They'd got this American quarterback, halfback, fullback, up and down inside the right back. I don't know, whatever he is. And you know, it was all looking very good. And in fact, they started off really well. So in my defence, just remember, these were all done pre any managerial changes. But Birmingham, 22nd, they finished 11th, I predicted. Now, I can say that probably looks worse than it should do, Brad.
Yeah, and in your defence, with all your excuses you just given there, it could have actually been an under prediction, couldn't have it? Because, I mean, if you want to talk about how to get things completely wrong, you know, guidebook for dummies of how to completely screw something good up, ask Birmingham, because they sacked their manager, who they desperately got back at the end to no avail, unfortunately, when they were sixth, Chris. They were playoffs when they originally sacked him, and then Wayne Rooney came in and did his best Wayne Rooney, didn't he? It's hard to be so smug when you're right about these ex-footballers getting easy jobs and becoming managers. It's almost like I knew they would be this bad when they hired him.
It was an American thing to do, wasn't it? Like, go for the
name. You're right, Chris. So as we call it, stupid. But you're being polite by saying American.
That made me laugh at it. But look, no, I mean, they were sixth, you know. In fact, I'm still looking at Huddersfield, but let me just bring on my other screen. I mean, Birmingham, I mean, they actually got up to third at one point, and they were sixth. It is a case of be careful what you wish for. And, all right, like you say, they did have a little bit of unfortunate with Tony Mowbray and the illness, but they shouldn't have even been in that position anyway. You know, if I was a Birmingham City football fan, thank God I'm not, but if I was, I would want that board out and off back to America. Good evening, Nate, by the way.
Yeah, I mean,
this is we're dissing all the Americans. Nate pops in.
Yeah, Now I'm not saying that the Americans are stupid or what Wayne Rooney hasn't got a brain cell as a manager, but I don't think he understood the assignment when he was asked to get Birmingham out of the division. Because I'm not sure that's how they intended him to do so. But
no.
You know, we had this, Chris, didn't we, when we had it last year a bit with a chunk of the players, but in terms of getting rid of, you know, things that weren't wanted, we had the relegation from League One, and the best reset was that. Now, maybe a combination of both, John, to answer your question, but Lampard, because he's done it about four times worse than Rooney. In all honesty, Chris, maybe it's something that Birmingham need, where the owners just kind of go, well, I give up on this, and they sell and they get better owners, I'm sure, you know. But then I say that, you remember what Newcastle did? They must have got relegated about four times under Ashley.
They bought the ground to build a new stadium, haven't they? They're going to have they're probably the best stadium in the third tier.
Yeah, it's a shame when they're going to get relegated to League Two with it as well. That's going to go well for them. Because that could happen, again, Chris. You know, you said that about
these owners.
Yeah, and then that would be really big trouble for them. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, Doug, you know, I don't like stats, but I do like Doug's stat there. And that's if there's any indication to any club manager out there that for whatever reason you've stumbled upon our channel and wondering why I have such a disdain for clubs that jump to hire a manager just because of his reputation of his player, Wayne Rooney had a 10% success rate at Birmingham, a team that was in the playoffs and was looking to fight for it, 10%. So if you support a team that hires a Frank Lampard or a Scott Parker who's spent, you know, his cashmere jacket, whatever it was, cost more than he had brain cells, then it's your own fault if you get relegated. You know, I have no sympathy for you.
I would have Rooney a hell of a lot worse than Lampard. You know, Rooney, at least Lampard, he got Derby into the playoffs. He did keep Everton up, albeit by the skin of his teeth. He did okay at Chelsea when he wasn't allowed to spend money. The question I've got to ask, though, is, looking at that picture, surely it's a waste of money when, as new owners come in, they decide to build a ski slope in the middle of Birmingham. No?
Oh, for God's sake. Oh dear! I'll let that one go. I'll let everybody else figure that one out. For God's sake! But no, I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? I know exactly why they went down, though, didn't they? Because that Tom Brady, who was a quarterback, Chris, just so you know, and I don't even follow the football over there.
No idea what a quarterback does, to be honest with you.
He's the guy that throws the ball. What happens to
the three quarters?
Oh well, they become a nickel or whatever it is in America. I don't know. I hope I've got that value right. Nate will either tell me and be impressed or tell me I'm talking a load of rubbish, which won't surprise me. But no, you know, it's weird, isn't it? Because it's been all risk and no reward. I mean, but now I'm just saying allegedly here, even though it turned out to be true. Maybe Tom Brady should have taken his own tactics and started to deflate their home footballs. It might have worked in them. But maybe that's why they kept kicking it over the goalpost. Maybe that's where it went wrong. I don't know. I'm just saying allegedly. Maybe that's where it went wrong.
Well, of course, according to that graph, they're going to get Eddie the Eagle in to be manager next season. boom, boom. Cyber Leader, hi, mate. How are you? Feeling happy? Moyes has gone. A surprise, it wasn't a surprise, I guess. But look, he's won you your first trophy in how many years? He's, you know, I mean, I don't know what West Ham fans want, if I'm honest with you. But look, he's not my club. I don't know the full ins and outs. I only see the results.
The thing is, Chris, though, they obviously just don't like uncharacteristic managers. Because I remember years ago, Chris, Sam Allardyce finished seventh. I think they got into Europe through that fair play system that used to be a thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, granted, so they didn't qualify for it positional-wise, but they had a good season in terms of where they finished. And then he got sacked. I, you know what, West Ham sometimes they don't deserve the managers they get, because like you said, Chris, ended a trophy drought with a European Cup. And I'll be honest with you, if any of us in here, maybe Doug because he's a Liverpool fan, it would be the only exception, but majority of us in here, Chris, would snap your hands off for a conference, Europa Conference League. I don't know what they want. What do they want? What are they expecting West Ham to do? Win everything?
I think that when you look at West Ham, I think it's the manner of the defeats. There's been like a couple of 5-0s and what have you. But look, you know, that's for a West Ham channel to discuss. So we're moving on to Plymouth. Now, Plymouth, they managed to stay up, but they kind of sailed very close to the sun. I had them 24th. And after Plymouth, when we played them the second game and they beat us, the guy in the preview, the Plymouth fan, kept reminding me that I had got them down as bottom and expected them to go straight back down. Last laugh, mate. Yes, you managed to stay up, but bloody hell, it was close, wasn't it? You nearly went down. You got your fingers burnt, mate. You got your fingers burnt. That said, absolutely chuffed to bits that they stayed up. Really, I like these small clubs that come up and they do well. Doug said he had them 19th. Right, Doug, you know, you're so good at predictions, and I'm jealous. And where's Brad gone? Oh, he's back.
I'm back again.
He's back again. I wish, Doug, is there a book, Predictions for Dummies? Because I think you should send me a copy. But this was Plymouth season. Again, let's be honest with you, a bit of all right, that early season form. I mean, it included a 5-0 win over Norwich, Brad.
Yeah, they had some impressive moments, Chris. And, you know, compared to other teams in and around them, even some a bit higher up that we'll get to later on, Chris, the most impressive thing you could say about it, you know, if you thought someone like Rotherham was a shoo-in to be struggling this season, I don't think there was too many people that would have kept them up. I mean, you know me, Chris. I mean, I had a laugh about them being sponsored by Ginx's, but they're not sponsored by Ginx's anymore. It's a good state, mate. Crap pasty company. That's all I'm saying. But I like them.
We,
you know,
like
I've got
Ginx's, by the way. We really, really love Ginx's.
Yeah, so this is not a paid advertisement. I bet they're glad about it. But, you know, I have a little bit of a soft spot for Plymouth. It was my granddad's second team. Just got family down south. They love Plymouth over there. It's a thing that, like, I mean, he was a funny enough side, but he was a West Ham fan. But his second team from where he lived was Plymouth. And it's actually quite impressive. Yes, they nearly kind of fumbled. They kind of fumbled over the line, which is something that Tom Brady's used to doing. Boom, boom. There you go. That's another joke. That's another NFL joke for you. But you look at that, Chris. Well, one very impressive thing you can say. Yes, they kind of touched base with it, but they never dropped into the relegation zone. And I think that is something that's always vital to a newly promoted side. You know, if you get a rough draw at the start, and you draw your Leicesters and Leeds in the first, well, maybe not Leeds because they're shit, but if you draw like a Leicester in your first game of the season, you end up bottom, you know, you normally recover. But the fact that they never entered it, Chris, at any point in the season, it makes their survival even better. And they won the last game of the season, so they had the fate in their own hands, Chris. They weren't relying on results to be in their favour. So,
are you saying that they are the 40-year-old virgin of the Championship? They never ended?
Well, if that's what you want to say, then yeah, take that as my word for it.
You're not about being entered. I thought, well, yeah, that's what you were hinting at. But yeah, look, you know, I mean, I think the fans, they won it last season, the League One, that they came up as champions. I had them down there because of, you know, the fact that they're a smaller club and the budget and what have you. They would have taken that at the start of the season. You know, it was all about staying up and then building on it. I hope they can build on it because, like I say, it's like with Luton in the Premier League this season. And I still think of Leicester as a small club. And I want to see the small clubs. It's nice. I know the EFL and the Premier League do everything they can to shit on the small clubs. But I do like it when the small clubs do well. So good luck next season, Plymouth. Good luck. Right, next up after Plymouth, your favourite team. Now, give me some credit. I said I did get close with a couple of them. Sheffield Wednesday, 20th they finished. I predicted 21st. Not like Leeds predicting a riot, but I predicted 21st. They nearly cocked it up, didn't they, at the start of the season with their manager thing?
Yeah, they did, and I didn't much like them at the start of the season, but they changed the manager. They made a bit of sense about it, sorted them out, and they were my favourite team to predict because I'd like to think I played my part, that they watched my predictions and seen me giving them wins, and they took inspiration from it to stay up. I know, it's so easy, it's so difficult to be smug, you know, said Clarkson one day. But yeah, I was impressed by them. They showed that fight that they probably had the better...
It's so difficult not to look smug at this point.
It is, Clarky, it is. But no, I mean, you read the form guide out earlier, didn't you? And they were top of it in that top six, so it just showed that they really did find a way to scramble. And kind of the opposite to Plymouth, Chris, they spent the majority of that season either rooted to the bottom or at least in the bottom three. And it actually wasn't until them final, you know, four or five games where they really turned the form on that they got out of it. So that's credit, because that can take a mental stab. They could have done a Rotherham. They could have done a Huddersfield to a degree, because they weren't a million miles off. I know they needed a lot on the last day, but they were still in there. But you know what I mean? You know what I mean? They kept fighting. They never let their situation get the better of them. And in the end, it paid dividends. And, you know, it could be one of them where this season they just about stayed up, and then next season there could be the shock package that gets into the playoffs. Because you've got to remember, unlike a certain team that absolutely shocked everybody this season with where they finished, a lot higher than I'm guessing that you probably predict them to finish in Ipswich. But, you know, they were one of the teams that came up, didn't they, not long ago with... you know, from League One, so they did the job.
That's Sheffield Wednesday, and literally only four games in the whole season were they not in the bottom three, and one of those was the first game, which is all pretty much like, you know, you don't read anything into where you are after one game. But those last three games, you know, they, and I said, you know, they made the cock up, and I feel so sorry for their fans with what their owner does there. I think, oh, you know, and I'm glad they stayed up. Like you, I like Sheffield. I'm nothing against Sheffield Wednesday at all. Sheffield United, not so much, but Sheffield Wednesday, I do like. Alan is in from Turf Moor. Hello, Foxes. Well done, guys. Can we stay up? It's a big ask, but possible. Talking to Dan a couple of days ago yesterday from Turf Moor House, and he was saying, he thinks they're down. He said if we don't beat Newcastle, then we might as well just be down. And he is convinced that you're going down now. I hope you stay up, because you know I'd like to be able to play you next season, but yeah, we shall see. It's a big,
well, they have got Dr. Tottenham, haven't they? And on the last game of the season, Chris, they play Nottingham Forest. So if they can get a result against Tottenham and things go their way, they might still have one more fight in the tank.
Yes. John said, oh, hello. Well, John said Brad kept changing teams he disliked. don't know if that's true. Brad's just doing sign language, by the way, at the moment, everybody. If you're wondering what he's doing, he is our sign language guru on the channel.
I'm in a household, so if I have to disappear, I'll try and come back. But,
Brad kept changing teams he disliked.
I was through and through to the end with Millwall and Stoke. It was just Sheffield Wednesday I didn't like, and Plymouth for a bit.
Alan, thank you very much for that, sir. You are a gentleman. Like I say, good luck. I do hope you stay up. You know I've got a soft spot for Burnley, although I've got a soft spot for Blackburn as well, because I used to work there. So you probably hate me now and take the pound back. Sorry we couldn't relegate them for you at the weekend. Dan was begging me to. Okay, so we're going up to 19th now. And talking of Burnley, it is that team. And it was always going to happen. Along they came on the last day of the season, pooped on our parade. Let's face it, we're probably still half cut from celebrating. It didn't matter. 100 points would have been nice. Of course it would, but we'd got the championship. We'd got promoted. We'd got the title. that would have just been a cherry on the cake, but not one that we particularly needed. After last season, I thought they were going to have a better season. I had them down as finishing fourth. So, yes, I was way, way off here. In fact, their first manager that they had, Thomason, that is obviously now actually a national manager with Sweden, was one that I, before we knew Enzo was coming, was one that I wanted. But it all went wrong for them, Brad.
No surprises there, to be honest with you. Chris, and again, they were probably a team that most people had in and around the playoffs.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Away days are great. But when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
To be honest with you, I mean, even Doug there had him in 14th. And I have been saying for the majority of this season, pretty much since it really started going wrong for them, that the biggest disappointment this season was Blackburn. You know, some teams might be a little bit disappointed that they didn't make the playoffs, like your Prestons and your Middlesbroughs maybe, or Hull City apparently, if you ask their owners. But if you're talking astronomical failures and expectations all around, Blackburn are the biggest disappointment ever. In football, not just this season, apparently. I didn't want to end that sentence on that. But no, I mean, like, just this season because... And it's concerning, though, isn't it, Chris? I mean, they came into the season. They didn't really sign a striker, did it? I mean, it tells you how bad they are. It really does tell you how bad they are as a collective unit when they have the top goal scorer in the championship and they finished, you know... Okay, they won. They beat us to stay up. But had they not, Chris, they would have been the top. They'd have had the top goal scorer in the championship and got relegated. And the thing is, Chris, without him, they would have been probably worse than Rotherham. I feel they didn't have that 25 goal player in their squad. So yeah, huge disappointment. And anyone apart from a Burnley fan maybe that predicted Rovers to finish so low down is lying to you because they're an established side in the Championship, Chris, that most people would have had anywhere between 8th and 3rd, I reckon, in most people's predictions.
Can everybody still hear me if I put my microphone there? Can you still
hear me? Unfortunately, Chris, we can.
Does it make any difference, you sarcastic?
No.
No. Okay, because then you can see the shirt that I'm plugging. It's going along the bottom, guys, if you want one of these or more leisure wear from artoffootball.com. It was a bit of a weird one because they got rid of Thomason and he'd had a pretty good, not season, but, you know, last season they just missed out on the playoffs. And it's weird because their owners, the Blackburn fan was saying, and he was American, Dirk, that they've never been, and we always used to joke, Venky's the chicken farmers from India, but they've never not backed the club. They've always backed the manager within, you know, the limits of what they can do. But I think it's just that when you've got a team that, or owners that don't really understand football, and Vichai and Top came in and King Power bought Leicester, Milan Mandrić stayed behind for 6 months to explain things and to do the handover, if you like. And this is my all-time favourite. Be careful what you wish for, because when the Venkis came in, So Jack Walker had passed and his family just, you know, wanted to sell the shares. When he came in, the Yankees came in, the fans were all, because Sam Allardyce was the manager, we don't want that Sam Allardyce. Sam Allardyce is rubbish, one style of football, blah, 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 blah. And in an attempt to placate the fans, this act Sam Allardyce. Apparently he was being stabbed in the back by his assistant, which was Steve Keener, but I think it was Steve Keen, who they replaced Allardyce with for probably half the money, and got relegated. And they've never been back since, if you like, you know. And it is, you know, to me, Blackburn Rovers are definitely a be careful what you wish for sort of club.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, at least they can say that their owners maybe have their heart in the right place, but just not their head in terms of what they did. So they'll be hoping for a rejiggle next season and a much improved season, because you would worry if this season was matched that they might not have the fortunes of the midfield that scored goals, because I'm sure he will be high on everybody's list of players, won't he? The teams that will want him.
I would love him, but I don't think we're going to be able to afford him, to be honest with you. But if you want to know about who could be coming in and who could be going, check last night's show with Rob Tanner. He knows his stuff, does Rob Tanner. Right, next up, it was QPR, who looked odds on for relegation, didn't they? They really did.
They did.
18th, they finished. I had them as 20th. We'll speed things up a bit, otherwise we could be here till midnight. But 18th, yeah, I had them as down as 20th. Another one of those clubs that kind of, well, it worked for them changing the manager, didn't it?
It did. They got it right in the end. And sometimes it's pivotal to when you got it right. Because they sacked Ainsworth after losing to us. And that sounded a bit harsh at the time because, you know, losing to Leicester, especially if you consider what we did and what sort of form we was on then, Chris, we was on red-hot form then. It sounded a bit harsh that they basically said, you lose to Leicester, you're out. But it turned out to be the right thing. And that's when making a decision early can really benefit you, because had they waited a few more weeks and gone, oh, well, okay, it was Leicester, we'll give you a couple more weeks, and then maybe got a couple of points, they've got to give you a couple more weeks, they might not have had that turn in fortune. I mean, you look at that, Chris, at one stage, all right, they had a bit of a drop where they dropped some results and it dropped them down, but that told you how close the division was all season, Chris. But they nearly propelled themselves into the top half at one point, didn't they? So you got to give credit where it is. Given how it went for them, that was a great turnaround for them.
Yeah. Your favourite team now, finishing 17th, Stoke City. We know your absolute love for them. Finished 17th, and they're still there next season. I had them as 19th. So, again, I wasn't a million miles away, in fairness, on that one. And this was their season. Start probably finished worse than they had hoped at the start.
Yeah, annoyingly. They could have finished about four places lower, though, couldn't they? That would have sent them down. That would have been better. Or five places lower, whatever it is. You know, I've been saying so far that some teams the trapdoor needs to go around. And Stokes, I don't care about Stokes form. I just want to see them get relegated. This is annoying as a team. And, you know, they had that spell of longevity where they're in the Premier League, but realistically, some of their fans, it's more their fans, Chris, some of their fans have this big delusion and think they're a lot bigger than they are, when they've probably spent the majority of their existence in Divisions 1 and 2, or as we call it now, the Championship and League 1. So, yeah, it's boring, isn't it, Doug? And I just think sometimes a team needs to bore off to another division and maybe come back a bit fresher, because Stoke City is an actual terminology of how you can play football, isn't it? You just play it the Stoke City way.
Yeah. Drum, I'm sorry, I didn't want to say this because I felt I might be insulting you here. You are a Leeds fan, aren't you, Drum?
Yeah, Drum's a Leeds fan.
Yes, yeah. You said here, the Dugout Football Channel, it's a good thanks. I hope the same for you. I have no confidence in the playoffs, so I'm in place of another season in the Championship. All I will say is, just wait until we get to you to Leeds, Drum. You may want to leave before then, obviously, but, you know, You missed the bits at the start of the show. How's the riot going, by the way? Right, Rochester 16th and Sunderland. And yes, I had them as ninth. I thought they were going to do a lot better than they did. Again, experimenting with a manager that didn't work out. Their season, probably again disappointing for them when you look at, you know, at one point they were the ones. Do you remember when we played them? I was worried about playing them.
Yes, you were, and so was I to a degree, because they were the team that seemed to want to upset the apple cart. They were knocking on the playoffs door. Then they kind of had, they had a torrid time, didn't they, in the second half of the season, where they just fell away and fell apart. And probably to a degree, they're probably glad that they had such a good start, because had they not, Chris, they would have been in that situation where relegation could have been a real threat for them, and that, you know, that step ladder that they're on only goes down further and further. They'll be hoping they were probably glad that the season came to an end last week, Chris, because it could have just got worse, and they'll be hoping to regroup and go again next season, hopefully not have that fall off.
I'm not going to say that any team has a right to do well, or just because they've got a big fan base that they're a big club or anything like that, but their fans will have been very disappointed after, like you say, where they were at the start of the season as to where they finished up.
Yeah, they would have. And look at that fall off, Chris. It's almost like they gave up the ghost when there was still plenty to play for. So it's a little bit concerning, but they'll be hoping to regroup over the summer, maybe make some changes. They're one of the teams that got the manager sacking a little bit wrong, didn't they? Because they took Ian Beale's brother off out of Rangers, and if Rangers have had anything there's a show by, that should have told them they weren't the greatest managers to bring in. So maybe that's what they need. Maybe next season they'll be a bit better with it, and they'll hope for a better chance. And I don't want to say too much, because obviously we know one of Leeds and Southampton. Maybe both will still be in the Premier, you know, will be in the Championship next season. But they may look at it and think, well, now one of the bigger teams are gone, you know, we might have a chance to really push for it, because obviously some experienced teams will be going up. And with the greatest respect, and I'm sorry, Alan, if you're still in, but the likes of Sheffield United, Burnley and potentially Luton going back down isn't so ominous as seeing a Leeds, Southampton, a Leicester in your division, is it? I think, if we're being fair. So who knows? Maybe they'll get it right. They'll stick by a manager. And
I am going to grab this with both hands and keep this and nail myself to this mast that Doug predicted a bigger mistake than I did with Sunderland, because he had them as fourth finishing. And Drum, as a Leeds fan, I give you a mention. I wouldn't go over to the bbc.co.uk/LCFC page. I may have mentioned Leeds just in my comments this week. There we go. Right, after Sunderland, probably my favourite team, Watford. Actually finished 15th. I predicted 10th. I thought they were going to do better than they would do, Brad.
Yeah, the thing is, though, Chris, they've always failed to do anything of any good. And even when it is going right, they tend to sack a manager. And again, I'm not sure what their managerial appointments are all about, because the manager didn't seem to be doing all too bad. And again, they've fallen off the pace, and not as bad as someone like Blackburn, admittedly, but they will be in that category of teams that if you were to pick a top five teams that have probably, underachieved this season, that they would definitely be one of them, wouldn't they?
Yes, yeah. And Doug, they had them 11th, 10th, 11th. And Drum, I should take that as a fair warning, Chris. I have to say, I cannot believe anything that comes out of the BBC. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. I like the BBC. I've got to be honest. Oh, I write for them, don't I? So How long do you give Tom Cleverley, lad? I think October will be gone. I think October, I won't think he'll be there that long, because he's not exactly got a lot of experience, has he?
Well, it's about the most successful thing that Watford have had in a while, haven't they? He won't last long, though, will he? I don't think he'll make September.
He came out and said, I made a lot of mistakes as a player, but I won't as a manager. And I'm like, that's just what the fans don't want to hear, isn't it? But anyway.
Very true.
Anyway, we are up to 14th. We're getting there slowly, a bit like climbing Everest. Swansea City, 14th. I predicted 17th.
Yeah.
And when I spoke to, I did a preview, and I know not many people here will remember it, but there used to be a show on BBC Three, and you can still get it, the first series anyway, you can still get on YouTube. It was the call centre, and it was about a load of Welsh, a Welsh call centre, and a guy, Nev, who ran this call centre, and they were based in Swansea, and one of their employees was called Chickenhead. I'm not going to say why he was called Chickenhead. You need to actually Google it. But the reason that some people are nicknamed Chickenhead, he didn't realise either, so I think he might be changing his name. He absolutely, he predicted like a 5-0 to us when we played them. He was very, very downbeat about Swansea's season.
He's probably one of them then that maybe, I mean, you look at their form guide, they were just meh all season. Yeah. And yeah. Not saying much about Doug and his ability to predict league scores, because he's done very well in predicting the season, but they were probably one of them teams that met that meh expectation. Like, we're not going to go down, but, you know, not... not going to challenge anything and light the world on fire.
Week maybe 5 and 6, when they seem to have a real bad dip. I mean, they were, like you say, it was very Stokish season in a way, wasn't it?
It was really a bit underachieving, but didn't expect anything. It's like getting your grades at school and realizing you're not failing, but you're not going to get A stars given back.
Yes. Exactly. Right. Well, we've done one of your favourite teams, Stoke. Let's do the other one. Millwall. Here we go. Finished 13th. I predicted 15th. Again, you've got to say, I'm not a million miles away with some of these. They managed to beat us, didn't they? And that was their season.
Yeah, I mean, that probably was the highlight of their season. Me personally would have got this horribly wrong, because you know exactly where I'd have probably predicted them, and it'd probably been one place lower than Stoke. It'd have been 24th. But again, a team that's either just on the cusp of the playoffs or just meh, aren't they? And it was another one of their meh seasons, right? They had a few shock results, a few upturns, and then they just kind of go about the business, win one, lose one, win one, lose one. It's a bit weird.
Yes, yeah. I mean, you know, that they diced with the relegation zone a little bit, probably just before they played, a while before they played us. But yeah, I mean, you look at that and you're thinking, like, again, what you expect, they're going to be in the Championship probably for another 5 or 6 years.
Well, yeah, that is the case. One of the very few teams, I think we named about maybe 5 or 6 teams in the division have never reached the top division. Obviously, we're talking Premier League, which is where Man City and Chelsea fans think football was invented. But, you know, minus maybe Preston for Division One days, you know, only 5 or 6 of them have never reached the Premier League since its birth. And Millwall, one of them teams that you just never see them do it, do you? You don't think they're ever going to achieve it.
Yeah.
Right. And this form shows why, doesn't it?
I've seen your message, so we'll go on quickly. Cardiff City, 12th. I predicted 14th. Again, not a million miles away.
No, again, the poor start. It's always difficult. We know it's 40-game season, but it shows there, doesn't it? Because just for a little bit, you thought they might challenge for that playoffs, but once they fell away, they had a little recovery. yeah, a bit of a disappointing season, but not too concerning. It's one of them, build and go again next season. They might feel like they can do it.
Doug, as indeed did Dan, he had Cardiff going down as well, and he had them 22nd, so quite a way off there, Doug. Next up, Bristol City. We don't like Bristol City since they sacked Nigel Pearson, do we?
No, we don't. I kind of wanted them to go on a bit of... Go on. Sorry.
So they did better than I predicted. And they were constantly in the top half.
That is very true. They didn't have the worst of seasons. Do I think Nigel Pearson would have done any better? Probably would have been in and around where they were anyway. I don't think the new manager added too much to the occasion, but he's done... You may argue, some Bristol City fans may say, no, actually, he did really well, and they could have maybe pushed on had they got him in earlier. So next season will be the test for them to see what they're really capable of, aren't they?
Indeed. Into the top 10. Preston North End were 10th. I had them as 12th. Probably, and we put 5 past Stoke, but this, for me, was probably the worst team we've played all season. They came to us, as you will see, quite early on in the season. You know, they were up there. And how they got up there, because when we played them in that first game, they were awful. And in the second game, they were even worse.
Yeah, I mean, teams that fail to disappoint and live up to expectations has been Preston's way for a while, hasn't it, Chris? You know, I called them Preston 8th end because that's where they usually finish. And even then, they couldn't manage that this season. They were a bit lower. But they're right now a team that probably still would consider themselves punching above their weight, kind of knocking on the playoffs. Like you said there, for a while, they were top of the league. You know, a bit like an elephant in a tree or Arsenal in a title race. You don't know how they got there, but surely they won't stay there. But they're probably a little bit disappointed that they couldn't recapture some of that form and get themselves back in the playoffs. Their concern will come in a few years' time if they don't get out of the division and maybe have a season in the Premier League, whether it will start to decline. But that's for another. That's a future Preston problem, isn't it?
Yeah. It's what they always do, Preston. They have a good start. They tease with the playoffs and then, like you say, finish mid-season. It's what they do. As John said there, Preston did what they always do, indeed. Coventry, now, I actually had them as second to go up automatically. They only just missed out last season on goal difference. Do you think, had they not had the distraction of the FA Cup, and they did so well in the FA Cup, Man United were so bloody lucky, but had they not had that distraction, do you think? I mean, because they did fall off a bit at the end, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And, you know, it's one of them, isn't it? It's hindsight's a wonderful thing. If you'd have said to them, well, you get knocked out in the third round of the cup, but you go on and get in the playoffs, you're going to obviously snap your hand off. But if you tell them you might not make the playoffs, but you're going to get to the semi-final and take Man United all the way without knowing the outcome of it, you're probably saying that I'll take the semi-final, thanks, and chance is not making it. And they give themselves a bit of a mountain to climb. And I always say, Chris, and I know you say the same, I'd rather have the points on the board than the games in hand, because the game in hand, one of them was Ipswich, and it was always going to be difficult for them to do so. Yeah. And unfortunately, that turned out to be the case for them.
Yes. And if you look as well, they had a poor start. You know, they only just...
Yeah, and that killed them off, didn't it?
Which was a surprise after last season. Drum says he doesn't think the FA Cup was a distraction. I think winning games, momentum, are positive for Coventry. I just look at how many... I was looking. We must have played about 8 games or something in April. It was absolutely ridiculous. And of course, we had a quarter final. But that was Coventry. I thought, as I expected them to go up. I really did. And I had this team higher than they actually finished as well. Middlesbrough, you know, again, not a million miles away, finished 8th, 6th. I mean, people were shouting at the start of the season, signed Michael Carrick for Leicester, who should be our new manager because he had half a good season last season. He didn't do it this season. They lost the top scorer, and that's always going to be a struggle for any team. Again, the poor start, but they never got quite up to the heights that they did last season, though.
No, they sort of hit a peak, didn't they? And then sort of the engine faltered. They couldn't quite seem to find a way to tick it over and make that push from mid-table to the playoffs. And again, like I said, probably in that small category of clubs that ended the season going, should have done better, really should have done a bit better than what we did. But yeah. Again, I feel like Middlesbrough are always going to be one of them teams that you feel like eventually they're going to get it right and they're either going to get in the playoffs or get in the division, aren't they? They're going to get out at some point.
Yeah. Doug did worse than me. He had them second. But yeah, well, we both thought they'd do better than they actually did. Next up, Hull. Actually 7th. I finished 13th, but finishing 7th and just 3 points off the playoffs isn't for anybody, everybody, is it? And the funny thing is here, the other day I discovered this app on. I'm getting into the world of TikTok. I'm embracing it. And I did one of those sort of things where they change all the teams over your head. And I said, who's going to be my team I should support in the championship, in, you know, as Leicester's second team? And it was actually Hull that came up.
Yeah, I mean, again, another team that kind of had fate in their hands to a degree, didn't they? Because they were playing Plymouth. They only needed, you know, West Brom, who didn't have the easiest of games against Preston on paper. It could have really worked out, and it could have been one of them last, you know, them last, that last day scenario where they stayed up, but it just never seemed to happen for them. And look, it's disgusting what's happened to the manager come the end of the season. I think that's wrong, but they're a team that maybe rid the momentum to the very end and would feel they were just a bit short of form on finishing outside the playoffs.
Last season, not the one we've just finished, the season before, they finished 15th. This season,
yeah, and that's a big improvement.
Yeah, all you can hope every season is that you improve. Now, to go from 15th the season before to 7th last season, that's not sackable.
Sorry, mate. I'm just hearing noise. It's getting a bit hectic.
No, I mean, look at that. I mean, look at that season. All right, I say 15th the season before, 7th this season, and look at the season they've had. That is not a sackable offence, is it?
No, it really isn't. Especially, it was only like a little dip after about game week 10 or 11. Where they dropped out of the playoffs. They were always there and thereabouts, literally on the cusp of it. They just couldn't quite break that door down, could they, to get into it? And it's just a strange one. I mean, it's not like they were first for the majority of the season and they've capitulated. You could maybe understand that, but to drop the form as dramatically as they had, you'd understand it. But they've not, have they?
No. Not at all.
Well, it's just a bit disappointing. It's one of them you hope they kind of fail now next season, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, indeed, definitely. One of my least favourite teams, along with Watford, Norwich City, had them down as eighth, and they finished 6th. Held on to the playoffs at the end, but had a bit of a scare.
They did. Didn't quite get the result they were hoping for. The end of the season, did they? And in the end, they were thankful that Hull couldn't do their job. But by hook or by crook, they managed to hold on to that place when it looked the most tenuous spot to be holding on to. Didn't it, Chris? They did manage to hold on to it, thankfully for them. And maybe you need that, Chris, don't you? You know, they're in that number six spot, which is like the percentage-wise the best way to go, but they nearly did try and throw it away. didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They did.
Oh, sorry, West Brom. I don't know if you can hear me or not. Sorry.
Yeah. West Brom finished fifth. I predicted seven. And they pretty much had fifth sewn up, didn't they, really?
Well, they did, but again, a bit like Norwich, the last few weeks, they tried to throw it away, didn't they? They went on a rotten run of form. They had that game against us that they probably still were trying to figure out how they didn't win that game. They were pretty much fifth for the majority of the season, Chris. You see it there in the form guide. And in the end, again, they got a bit nervous in that last game of the season, but then they came through comprehensive against Preston. And again, that team with that experience, it's going to be a difficult game going into the playoffs.
Yeah, indeed. Talking of playoffs, I had this team third. They finished fourth. They finished with a flurry, in fairness to them. They had a great run during the season. Then the wheels came off. Then they came up against a brilliant Leicester side who stuffed them. They beat us twice last season. We returned the favour this season. 87 points. How many points did they have? Southampton, 87 points, and you're not getting promoted. I mean, any other season, that would have probably seen them, you know, get second. But, you know, again, they probably blew it, didn't they, really?
Well, yeah, I mean, they had a point where they had the initiative and the control. I don't know if games in hand were playing a factor at some point, but when Leicester and Leeds and Ipswich were all dropping points, they went on that incredible 20-plus game unbeaten run, but they just couldn't tidy it up enough, could they, to really propel them into that top two. And like you said, Chris, Southampton fans probably feel a bit hard done by that the likes of Ipswich and Leeds all ended up on 90 points. And again, it wasn't enough for promotion automatically. They could still go up, and they probably, despite that little blip in form at the end, they probably deserve it over the rest of them, because, you know, they were harshly done by the fixture list, didn't they? They had one game that was out of their hand cancelled. They had two games which were due to cup competitions they couldn't play, us, and I think Ipswich was the other one, wasn't it? So, you know, they were always behind the eight ball, and that little blip at the start really did cost them. Again, another team that you know, had they got things going in motion from the start, would have potentially snuck into that second place.
Yes, indeed. But they didn't. And now we come, drum, are you ready? We can do with a drum roll here, because we come to the best team in the division, allegedly. I had Leeds finishing fifth. They did better than I predicted. They finished third, which was disappointing, like I say, for the best team in the division. I'm just looking over my shoulder because apparently Leeds are coming for us.
They must have jumped the queue behind Tottenham fans then, mustn't they, Chris?
I think so. I don't know where they are, but in February, it says here, this is what it says again. In February, this is Guillem Baran, I can't pronounce his name. February, Leicester City lost 3-1 away to Leeds, reducing what had been a 17-point lead at the top of the Championship to just 6. Manager Enzo Maresca came into the change room and said just one thing: we will finish ahead of Leeds. And they were right. We did finish ahead of Leeds. Look, Drum, you know my thoughts on Leeds. I have nothing against them, nothing for them. We've got a good friend here who comes on the channel, who's a Leeds fan, Carl. It was just the idiots, and we all have idiots, fan bases for all our teams, that were just, it was just so obvious. They were all over my shows after they've gone out on the YouTube things commenting. As I say, 30-odd% of them I had to delete just because they were obscene. They suddenly then they just disappeared. But what a shame, Brad.
Yeah, I know. It's World's Smallest Violin will come out for them. Again, probably a bit like Leeds. They're probably like Southampton fans, they're probably thinking, well, if only Leicester and a certain Ipswich Town weren't so impressive this season, that would have been enough to get them up. But hey-ho, I mean, they could always just fail in the playoffs and go again next season and try and win it. They might finally catch up to us then.
Yes. You've got to go, Brad.
Yes, I do. Unfortunately, I have to leave. I got my dates wrong for this show anyway. Otherwise, I'd have been at home and had no issues.
This is true. Are you... you're going to be here Friday, though, aren't you?
I'll be fine for Friday. I know I can do that one. I've got that stored in my memory. I know that one. But yes, it's been great to do the show with you. But unfortunately, I do have to dash and go just before the best team in the world. I leave on the best team in the world. It's all right. It's all good.
Take care. See you Friday, mate.
See you Friday, mate.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks to Brad there. I'm not sure how this is going to work out. If I just do that. There we go. That works, doesn't it? Don't forget, guys, that if you do want one of these T-shirts, you can get them and more. There's a big range out. There's an Easy Life range out as well. They're a Leicester band, and you've got hoodies, you've got sweatshirts, you've got shorts, art_of_football.com. That was Leeds. So, look, I got this one way wrong. Ipswich Town, second, and fair play to them. McKenna, manager of the season, absolutely, definitely, he deserved it. I don't know how Ross India got in there at that point, and I think they were being kids not putting Maresca in there. But look, well done to them. The funny thing is that at the start of the season, before I knew that Enzo was coming, and I said this before, I wanted two managers. I wanted Thomason from Blackburn, or I wanted McKenna from Ipswich. Not a bad choice. One of them is now a national manager of Sweden, and one of them's taking his team into the Premier League after two straight promotions. I went to see, earlier in the season, Jeff Stelling with Bianca Westwood, just outside where I live. And they did an evening. I've got a picture up there of them. And it was one of those evenings with. And obviously everybody that was there was a football fan, because obviously that was the theme. And I was sat behind a couple, and we got talking, and I had a Leicester jacket on. They turned around and saw it. And they were Ipswich fans. And I said, enjoy it, because I said, it's the last time you'll be ahead of a Leicester all season. Didn't quite work out. A couple of times they did go above us. But I have got to say, congratulations. Absolutely congratulations to Ipswich Town. I love them. Again, a team, you had them eight higher than I did, Doug. They were just a team that, they don't upset you. You know what I mean? I remember Ipswich from the early Muirhead days, and they had, was it Ron Greenwood was their manager at the time as well? Bobby Robson was the manager, and they were just a great team to watch. Won a European trophy, I believe. But look, let me just show you. This is their form. That is just absolutely unreal. Never once this season have they been out of the playoff positions. Their lowest they've been this season, my hat is all over the place, the lowest they've been all season was sixth. And this is the promoted side. This was a side that didn't even win League One. They were second to Plymouth. And look at that. Look at that. Look, hats off to them. Hats off to them. Unreal, great season, thoroughly deserved. Looking forward to seeing them in the Premier League. And of course, we got one left to go. Leicester City. I had to predict them to go up first because they're my team. And they did go up first. We nearly threw it away. Definitely nearly threw it away, didn't we? But we managed to hold on. Yes, look, I mean, look at the season. I mean, it was, I mean, if you were impressed with Ipswich's form, you've got to be impressed with Leicester City's form there. Only 1 week outside, and that was the first one. Although we won the first game against Coventry, we weren't actually, we just somehow didn't make it into the top, into the top six. So Ipswich beat us on that. But look, 17 points clear. Enzo came out and said, make the most of this. This isn't going to last. And it couldn't have lasted, you know. We weren't going to be the Invincibles. I was quite pleased when Hull City beat us. And you can see, I think that was game five. I think it was game five when we played Hull, and they beat us. And it was almost a relief because, like, thank God for that. We've got it out the way. We can get on. You know, we haven't got that albatross around our neck. Oh, we've not lost. We've not lost. So, look, you know, I predicted us first. I got two right. That's it. Doug said, Paul Mariner and Mick Mills, exactly, Drum. Exactly, yes. I couldn't think of Paul Mariner. Mick Mills, England player, great England captain. Doug, yeah, he had Leicester as champions. Drum had predicted Leicester first. Possibly easiest prediction other than Rotherham. You see, I had two. That's my heart. That is my heart. My head had us playoffs, if I'm honest with you. You know, and we've got to remember this at the start of the season. So we hadn't got Enzo in at all. We'd only just got him in, and we didn't know what players were coming in or out. And I always say, Drum, look, if Leeds had had that better start to the season, you'd have been up there. You know, I kept saying whoever finishes above Leeds, Tottenham, what am I saying? Whoever finishes above Leeds will get promoted. And you came third. That sums it up. I've got to say, that end of the season, when we actually dropped off, the interesting thing was that nobody actually took advantage. You know, we were 17 points clear, we were dropping points. But then everybody, Ipswich were drawing, Leeds, you were losing, Southampton were. I think you kind of blew it. But there we go. That is it. Leeds had a bookend season. Awful start and finish, great in between. Sums it up, Drum. I'm thinking, when is the playoffs for the championship? I don't know whether I'll do a watch along or not. But when are the championship playoffs? What I might do, I don't know whether you'd be up for this, Doug. Whether you'd fancy doing a, neither of us have obviously got a horse in the race. Would you fancy doing a prediction and having a look, a preview show for it? Sunday the 12th. Oh, that's this Sunday, isn't it? It's next Wednesday and Sunday, says Drum. When is the 12th? That's this Sunday. But I can't actually do it. So, I don't know. Message me, Doug, and we'll see. I might do a preview of it. I will leave you with this, just saying, if you like this, champions again, ole, ole, ole. Get it on the link below, art_of_football.com. A full range of LCFC leisurewear is available. Hi, Paul, how you doing? Yeah, we might slip one in. I know a lot of the shows have taken up, but we'll see if somebody wants to come on with me. Do please go and support Art of Football. They support this channel very, very much indeed, and I thank them for that. Just shows. We're back. We're not here tomorrow because I'm going down the pub. And we're having a bit of a rerun because coming up, Just see if I can find this now. I'm not sure if I've still got it. Here we go. Two fans down the pub. I'm going to be joined by Craig next Tuesday, and we're going to do just a show talking sport from one of our local pubs. And that will hopefully be every week or every couple of weeks. Two fans down the pub a week today. And we're going to have a bit of a dry run, literally, dry run tomorrow evening. Don't forget, we are available on podcast as well. And I have to say, if you are one of these guys, thank you so very, very much. Become a member. It's $1.99 a month. I used to have bronze, silver, and gold, but we're in the middle of, well, we were, obviously, still are, really, in a bit of a cost of living crisis. So I took gold, silver, bronze, merged them into one, and just charged the bronze price. What do you get for your money? You get all the, well, check on the link below. You can also come on the show. We do have invitations to come on to the show. If you want to come on a show at any time as a member, just message me. You've got to be a member, though. You don't come on without. You've got the two rules. Two, you have to have a camera that works. And I am going to leave you with this. Sorry, drum. Had to do it. I've just seen Matthew. Where have I gone? Shouldn't it be called Paddy Chat? You sleep at the pub. I'll probably get hello in, and that'll be the last thing I say. Drum, thank you very much, sir. Good luck in the playoffs, mate. I don't have a horse in the playoffs. The only reason I want Southampton to come up is because they're local to me and I can go and get and see them. But to be honest with you, if it's yourselves, I wish you as much luck as anybody else. I've got to say, AOBN is the way I'm looking at the playoffs. Anybody but Norwich. They wind me up. And you're welcome, mate. So we'll be back Thursday at 7 o'clock with the season preview with Kate and Dave. That will probably be a laugh and it will go on forever and ever and ever. Thank you very much for listening. If you have been listening on Catch Up via the podcast, really do appreciate it. If you've been listening and watching tonight, thank you so very much, especially if you've joined in with the chat. Like I say, Drum, all the best in the playoffs, mate. Maybe see you next season. If not, we'll see you on Thursday when we do the season review. Take care. Thanks for watching.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You'd better like them too, or I'll be back.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
That will conclude this evening's entertainment.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.